I'm dealing with Revelation 22. Go right to the end of the Bible. I mean, let's go right to the... And the reason I'm going here is I have a question for you that I want to deal with this morning, and I want you to kind of help me out as we sort through it, thinking about it. But let's first just read the scripture, and then we'll get on with the matter and get to the question and see what we do with it. Here we go. These are the words of Jesus. They're in red in my Bible, so I know they're words of Jesus, right? Somebody put them in red. Anyway, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. I like that. Do you like that?
Amen.
You know, time out. We live in a world where it's been so long, people say, well, I don't know if he's ever going to come. You know, forget that. Peter speaks of this in 2 Peter. He said, there's going to be scoffers in the last days, and they're going to say, you know, it's been a long time, you guys. You know, it's really not going to happen. Aren't you tired of putting that song and dance out all the time? Jesus is coming back. No. God's on a different calendar than I'm on. His clock works differently than mine. And if a day is as 1,000 years, it's only been 2 days since he said it. So that's enough of that. You know, the only thing I need to know when the Lord comes back, and you too, if you don't get anything out of this world, if you don't get any acclamations, any applause, any support, anything, any mark in society, there's no monuments or statues in your name, you only need to hear one thing. You ready? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you hear that, you've heard it all. And Jesus said that all of this life isn't worth that if you hear those words. Because all of eternity is yours, and all the glories of God your Father is yours. And you are at home, sweet home, and peace and tranquility without tears and without fears forever and ever. Those are the words you want to hear. Now we can all go home. No, I've just read the first verse. Wait a minute. Behold, I'm coming soon. I like it. My reward is with me. That'll play a part of our question, maybe. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last and the beginning and the end. You'll find that in the first chapter too. He tells you that he is God. He is Almighty God. And down verse 16, you'll see, I, Jesus. Anyway, here comes verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs. And some said, dogs? What about the cats? No, the word dogs here, and I had Walt look in his Lucado Bible just to see how Max Lucado wrote it, and he wrote evil people, which is exactly what that actually means. Dogs in those days in the Eastern world, he's not talking about the household dog, your friendly pet. He's talking about the feral dogs out in the street, the scavengers, the vicious dogs. They were considered the lowest of the lowest, and so that became a picture of people who are extremely evil. Just the worst of the bunch, the bottom of the barrel. Even society rejects them. So that's what you're getting there. So outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters. Now remember, idolatry is more than having some kind of statue at your house. Idolatry is covetousness. If the world means more to you than God, you're an idolater. If you love the world more than you love the Father, you're guilty of idolatry. Idolatry is a bigger issue than having some kind of a statue that you're bowing down to. And everyone who loves and practices a falsehood, all liars. Okay, wow. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root. I am the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. Question. Back up here where he says, They may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. So I see in my mind, there's a whole bunch of people that are going through the gates into the city. And outside are all of these other people. And so my question is, why do certain people get to go through the gates into the city and these other people are left out? Now here's why I'm thinking that. Don't jump to a conclusion yet. I'll get you there. Don't worry. Romans chapter 3. Here's why I asked the question. Okay? Verse 10, it's written. This is God's assessment of the world, God's assessment of people. There is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. They've all turned away. They've all together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. None, no, no one, zero, zappo. Then he concludes it by saying, there really is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? So how come they got to go in the city and they didn't? Because they're all the same. There's no difference. None of them are good. None of them are righteous. They're all in the same boat. Might not the answer be that God loves certain people and he doesn't love others? Maybe he has favorites. You think that might be true? Well, then quit telling me about John 3:16 that God so loved the world. Because that doesn't work anymore if God has favorites. If these people, in spite of their activities being the same as the activities of these people, and they're both condemned for the same thing, and these people get to go in, and these people are left out. Does that mean God's love differentiates? Because I hear a lot about the love of God today. You know, God so loved the world. So there's the question. And there's no difference. Here's what I want to talk about. It's called the nature of God. And we've talked about it before, but let's just explore it a little bit again. Okay? But before I do, I want to tell you a story. Got time? Oh, yeah, got time. True story. You know, people sometimes ask a preacher, how'd you come up with this sermon? Well, I was studying really hard, taking a nap, and all of a sudden there came to me this word of the Lord, thou shalt speak the following. I'm waiting for that one. I was taking out the garbage. There's the answer. One day I was taking out the garbage. Tuesday nights we take out the garbage. You know, garbage cans are nasty. And usually they get so full that the cover doesn't go down. So if you get near them, they're nasty. And if you're vertically challenged, they're really nasty. Because you're not much taller than a can is. And the other day, my wife, I was asking her where a certain food coupon was, and she said, well, it was on the paper. What'd you do with the paper? You threw it in the trash. Oh, I threw it out before I ever got that out. And there I went out to the garage, and I looked over the edge, and of course there was nothing in the can. It had just been emptied, so way down there in the bottom was my newspaper. Now, some people, if they're tall enough, like some of you guys, you can go like this and get it. I can't. I have to get on my tippy toes, reach across, hold on to the other side, balance myself between heaven and earth, and reach down in there and try to reach that without doing a header and wind up upside down in the garbage can. I'm not in love with garbage cans. They stink. So I was taking out the garbage. About that time, here comes my daughter in her van, followed by my son-in-law, Mike, right behind. Usually he takes out the garbage because it's a man's job. But there was only one. I thought I could make it up there, but normally he gets the job to take the garbage up. Here comes my daughter in the van, pulls in. Well, as soon as she pulled in and stopped, of course, I got the air from the car stopping. Whoa! I said, what'd you do, run over a skunk? Well, she didn't exactly run over a skunk, but she ran over a dead skunk. You're not parking that in the garage, I hope. No, we're going to leave it out there on the driveway. We'll leave it out there and we'll get it washed and cleaned up, and then we'll move it in the garage. And so I was in the house, and this is all part of how this sermon came about. We're getting to the sermon, by the way. Anyway, I'm in the house, I'm looking out the window, and I looked at the van, and I thought, you know what? The garage was built for that car. That's where it's supposed to be. But it's not there. Why isn't it there? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? Do I have to tell you? And how long is it going to stay out there before it gets in here? Until it's washed. As long as it takes, right? Until you change the status of that thing, it's not coming into here. Right? So let's talk about the love of God. There's two parts to the love of God, or nature of God. One, holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It's emphasized, it's re-emphasized, it's the chief item. It's everything. If you want to say something about God, you speak of His holiness, His purity. And nothing impure will ever come close to Him. And His whole domain is holy. And when God creates a place for His children, it's called a holy city. And He says nothing impure will ever enter it. So as long as the van people remain in their wicked ways, they will not, they cannot, it's impossible for them to enter the holy city. That's why they're over here, and the people who went in there are just as bad as the people over here. However, they have accepted, submitted, surrendered to God's remedy. Nelson's used to have a little dog. Was it Shayla? I was going to take Shayla out to do what Shayla does, you know? Out in the door, she went out. I stepped down to kind of saw her go, and I stepped down to look, and I come up like that. A skunk going up the driveway. I saw the skunk about the same time Shayla did. How much of this story do you need to know? Huh? You think everything didn't change in a hurry? You didn't think like, hey, Mike, we got a problem out here. And instantly, what are we looking for? A remedy. Well, you know, you get on the internet, remedy for skunks, you know. Call my neighbor up the street, Stan and Bonnie. They're old timers in the neighborhood, and they're into all that stuff. Bonnie, what's the best remedy for skunk? Of course, she knew right off the bat. I don't remember what it was. Mike got to do it. I live downstairs. We look for a remedy right away. You know, when I grew up in Florida, there was only two occasions where people got bit by a coral snake. Now, a coral snake is very, very deadly. Not very big. He's got his red and black and yellow rings. And we always were taught in school, black is bad for Jack, meaning if he has a black nose, you better get out of there, because it's a coral snake. And they're not vicious. They're not going to chase you, much like a cottonmouth. You better stay away from him, because he'll come after you. But a coral snake won't. And usually they're from messing around with them and annoying them. And then because they have such small mouth, they usually can only bite you between your fingers and between your toes, where they can get a hold of a piece of skin. And the last one I knew of was an 18-year-old who got bit by a coral snake, and they had him on a jet plane, flying him to Tallahassee as fast as he could, because that was the only place you could find a remedy. As soon as we're in trouble like that, we're looking for the remedy. God, in His holiness, instantly when there is the skunk smell of sin, His holiness becomes wrath. He's a consuming fire. However, you go over on, look out at this window from God's point of view. He is a God of love. And His love, when He sees that happening, it responds with grace. So there's a tension here, like a rubber band pulling within God. One saying, the wages of sin is death, justice, fairness. The other one says, I love Him so much. I yearn to hold Him. I want Him to come home. You know, Peter says God is waiting patiently even today, not willing that any should perish, but all that would come to the remedy. And people say, I don't want your remedy. I don't want your Jesus. I just believe in God, and I believe God's so loving, He would never send anyone to hell. Well, here's what's going to happen. You ready for this? You're going to come pulling up to the pearly gates, dragging your trash can, and your trash can is full of all the wicked deeds and all the things you ever did. And you say, well, what about the good things I ever did? Well, they're going to be draped over the edges, because we want God to see the good things you ever did. But God says in Isaiah that all the good things you ever did to Him, from His point of view, as pure as He is, they're nothing but filthy rags. So here you come, you've got all the wickedness that you ever did, plus all the filthy rags that you can drag along. And you say, Lord, don't you love me? Yes, I love you. But you're going to stand over there. You're not coming in here. Nothing impure is coming in here. So only the people who realized the condition and afforded themselves of the remedy are able to go into heaven. They're one and the same people that are left out. There's no difference. All have sinned. The difference isn't who they are or what they've done. The difference is in who God is and what He did about it. Because in order to satisfy His own purity, His own justice, there was only one remedy available. And that remedy had to be the shedding of blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so He sent His Son. And that's the remedy. And that's the only remedy. And that's why He said there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Jesus Christ. And if you won't accept the remedy, you are going to die forever. And it's not God's fault. Don't lay it onto God. And don't say God's not a loving God. He is a loving God. It was love that sent Jesus. It was love that afforded the remedy. He could have said, well, too bad for them. He didn't have to. It was His own initiation. It was His own love that caused Him to do that. And that's why there sits the van. Well, we could have left it sit out there year after year, hailstones, snow, whatever. We say, no, first chance I get, I'm going to go to town and wash it. And that's what happened to Shayla, too. So where does that take us? Well, you know, the very first gospel sermon that was ever preached was Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he indicted them in Acts 2 for crucifying Jesus. And then they said, we're in deep trouble. We've got a problem, and it's not one that we can reconcile with God. What must we do? And Peter said, well, you need to first repent. You've got to change your ways. You're not going to change your ways. You'll never walk with God. And then he said, you need to be immersed in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And you will receive a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say that he pleaded with them. He pleaded with them with many words. And his words were, in summary, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourself. Make a decision. Reach out for the remedy. It's the only remedy. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. And as many as accepted his word, they were then were baptized into Christ. What do you mean, as many as? You mean there's some that didn't? There's some that won't? Yes. There's some that won't. Is the problem with God? No, the problem isn't with God. He's going to be true to his nature no matter what. He's going to be true to his purity. Period. And he's going to love you. Even as Jesus was looking at the cross and it was on the horizon, he looked at Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I longed to gather you together like a chick gathers hens under his wing to cuddle you and to hold you, but you wouldn't let me. That's what we're talking about. You wouldn't let me. You wouldn't do it. Well, what's the problem? The problem isn't God. The problem is pride. Now you heard it. That's the real problem. And I know the psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 7, he said, no one who practices deceit will enter my house. No one who speaks falsely will ever stand in my presence. The holiness of God will not be compromised, but it can be met with the blood of Jesus. I got a couple more minutes. You're still with me, aren't you?
Yes.
Good. Blessed are those who wash the robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Well, washing the robes, we understand that because that's what he preached on the day of Pentecost, and that's what was given to Saul of Tarsus when he was on the road. He said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And then in Galatians 3, it says, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, you put on his robes. So that's where we get the robes. It's not our robes. Our robes aren't going to get us. Our robes are nothing but filthy rags. We need to get rid of those things. If you're counting on who you are and what you've done as compared to what other people are doing or not done, that's not going to work because you're trying to compare yourself with absolute purity beyond our imagination. And you're not going to get in. So as long as you and I will not accept the remedy, and we sit out there on the driveway day after day, hour after hour, nothing's going to change. But there are those who have washed the robes. Now, just a point. You say, well, that's me. I'm home free. Boy, I got it made. I'm going through the gates. And you are. However, I want you to know his words are not a one-time action that you did when you were 14 years old. It's what you did yesterday, what you're doing tomorrow, and what you're going to do the next day, because it's an action whereby it's a maintenance action. I keep my robes white. Every man that has the hope of ever seeing God purifies himself. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. And when Christ who is your life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Colossians chapter 3. It's a maintenance program. If you're a child of God and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you want the right to the tree of life and you're going to walk through that gate, you have a maintenance program. You've been given white robes to keep them white. Isn't that what a bride does? Bride doesn't say, well, I'll try them on. I know I'm not getting married till Saturday, but I'll try them on today. Probably wear them all week. I got to go check out the hogs out there, and I've got some other chores and things I got to do. What's that bridal dress going to look like? No, we keep it all tucked away and it's covered, and we do special things because we want it to be pristine. There's the message. There's the answer. That's what he's talking about. And the people who are doing that are going to walk through that gate, and when they do, they are there forever. And those who heard the message are someday going to say, if only I had listened, what was I thinking? And the barrier is simply, I am not going to surrender. I will not believe. I don't want his remedy. As costly as it was for the Lord Jesus to die on your behalf, representing the love of God, in order to purify you so you could stand before the holiness of God, you said no. Who are you going to blame? Don't blame God. We're going to pray. And if anything ever strikes a note with you and you want to talk with any of us, that's what we're for. I want you to see yourself in a white robe. I want you to see yourself with confidence. Walk with the Lord. Spice in your step. True to him. So we're going to pray, but we're also going to pray for the chili downstairs. And if you didn't get this message, then I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to bring in the garbage cans from outside, and I'm going to park them right by you. That way we won't have to pick up all the trash and try to haul it out there. Why separate it? You're in so much love with trash. We'll just put it right there by you and make it convenient. And so that's the way it'll be, because that's what, you know, the word for hell had to do with the dump. Oh, I still got a minute. People say, I'm going to have a long weekend this weekend. We're going to the mountains. I say, yay. Hope you have fun. Oh, why are you going to the mountains? Well, because it's clean air and you're up there and it's close to the Lord and you can breathe that good air and put your tent down and everything else. And it, you know, they raised the price. It's like $20 or $25 now to go to the mountains, go to Rocky Mountain. Why go such a distance? I come to church and I drive up Hamden Avenue and you can turn in right there to a mountain. And it only costs you $75 to trail your way all the way to the top, where they got these big machines that are just pushing stuff around this way and that way and whatever. But it's nice soft ground. You can pitch your tent right there and get your Coleman stove out and put some bacon on it. You know, what's that something about pancakes on the griddle or whatever? And camp out there. I mean, you got good visibility. You say, that's the dump. That's the last place I want to go to. If that's the last place you want to go to, then why don't you accept the remedy? Because that's where you're going to. I hope that doesn't interfere with your chili. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that your will, Lord, that we come to appreciate what you've done for us. Lord, we have no idea about your holiness. It's beyond us. We've never seen or been around anything or anyone truly holy. But we're certainly glad for your love, Lord. We are glad for your compassion, your grace, your mercy. And we rejoice, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. There's no reason for us to be left out, Lord. You want us to come in. Lord, I pray that anyone here that needs to obey you, that their pride will not get in the way, but they will truly say, yes, Lord. Bless our fellowship. Bless our food. May we honor you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.